So my big impossible right now.
So my impossible is...
My impossible.
The impossible.
I think the impossible...
An impossible dream that I think we could pull off one day would be...
I am Tansley Stearns, and this is Despite Impossible. I am a longtime credit union executive leading Community Financial as president and CEO. I have always admired and been inspired by people whose passion is boundless and who don't comprehend the word impossible. This show focuses on their stories.
Today's guest is Jennifer Spittler. She is tenacious, believes in working hard and playing hard, and is passionate about the possibilities of the future generation. Jen is also the president and CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southeast Michigan, an innovative alternative to the juvenile justice system to create equity and empowerment for young people. This is Jen's story.
People who know you best will describe you as...
I asked my husband this question. Tenacious.
Oh.
Right?
I love it.
That's the word he used. I was like, honey, that's so sweet. I'm a hard worker. Okay. But I read like kind of that motto of like work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
I'm also a hard player. Like I like to laugh. I like to have a good time, but I like to do it. If I can't do it 100% or 150%,
yeah,
it's not worth doing. For me.
What about today's version of yourself would impress your 10 years younger self?
I think self-care, to be honest, in the space of serving others, you know, social work, like we're always giving, we're doing that. And for years, I didn't take vacations. I just didn't think about how I needed to recharge myself.
Yeah.
And I have focused on that over the last number of years. And I think that it kind of surprises me. So work hard, play hard, right? The balance, really taking that into account for what we need to recharge and be able to show up.
What's your most unpopular music opinion?
I was like, I don't even know if I can really share this. I listened to some music in the 90s that I'm like, yeah, I probably wouldn't listen to that now. And it's probably music that I still will listen to occasionally and be like, no, this is not okay. But I know every word.
Yes, yes. I feel that. When was the last time you danced so hard that your feet were sore?
Oh my gosh. So, my husband, he's in a band. He's in an 80s band. Yeah. He plays, it's like Depeche Mode and, you know, like it's all piano and synths and stuff. So, they had two shows almost back to back at the end of last year. And I was like, oh God, I haven't danced that long in a while or that hard in a while. My feet were just killing me. Like, but it's again, I'm 51. It's music from when I was 16 to 25. So wow. You're just up.
Yes. What's the book, song, or movie that said the words that you couldn't say?
It would have to be, I had to think about this one for a minute. Like, what is that? You know, like that is a hard one. But I think it's The Man in the Arena. Oh. I think it's that, right? Like, Just show up. Show up.
Yes. Yeah. What gets an undeserved bad reputation?
I think a lot of things get an undeserved bad reputation. But I think, this won't be favorable to a lot of people. I think government gets a bad reputation. I'm not 100% sure that it's fully undeserved.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Sure.
But when politics gets into it, it becomes, I love history. I was in Lansing the other day and we, you know, got a tour of the Capitol and I was on the floor and like, it's what we aspire for. We're still trying to move toward that great, you know, union, that great, you know, experiment. It's still an action. And I think that that's beautiful. It just is mucky.
Yeah. What's your favorite thing that someone you admire does?
I think that creatives.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't know if it's someone I admire, but I find myself admiring people who are truly creative, right? Like that they can, I met with a former board member the other day and he writes music. He just wrote an opera. It's a 30-minute opera. It's not like soup. I was like, how does your brain do that? Like, and trying to get him to explain to me, like, how do you do cello parts and piano parts and, you know, oboe parts. And I'm just, it's just amazing to me how, where people, where that comes from. Yeah.
Tell us about your impossible.
My impossible, it kind of goes to the man in the arena and it kind of, you know, there's things. I'm not sure that I believe anything's impossible. Really, I'm not. I've had a lot of hardship and we are going through a merge, merging Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Washtenaw County and Metro Detroit. It's hard. Is it impossible? No. Does it take time? Yes. Show up every day. Like, right? Like, I've also had personal, you know, I never thought impossible. I couldn't have conceived that I would have gotten over the grief of my father's death, right? Those kind of things feel impossible to me in my heart from a relationship standpoint and people in my life. And when things like that happen, like, how are you going to get over this thing? How is this thing going to resolve itself? But we do. So is it impossible? I think some of it's perspective. Right? Well, and some of it's the support network and it's the people around you and it's all the things that allow you. I'm really fortunate in that, right? That allow you to probably see the world in that way. Yeah, I'm fortunate in that for sure.
What are some of the challenges you faced that seemed insurmountable at the time?
That. All of those things. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. All of those things, right? Like it seemed impossible that I was going to find an other side to grief. It seems impossible some days that I'm going to find the other side of my mom had Alzheimer's. So if I experienced that walk, like, gosh, that walk, that seemed impossible, right? Like, but again, it goes back to mostly personal moments. Like, work is work. Not, I feel passionately about what we do. I work hard, play hard, right? But you can put one foot in front of the other for either of those things, whether it's personal or professional. Yeah.
Was there a point during your journey that you felt like giving up?
Every day. Don't we all? Right? We all have moments of self-doubt. We all have moments where, like, I don't have it in me for this. I don't know enough for this. I don't, you know, all the things. Every day, I think that I can conceive of that concept in one way or another in my life, whether, again, personally, professionally, with relationships, with work, other things. Yeah. Yeah.
What's one thing you've learned about yourself going through one of these impossibilities?
It's a journey. Oh. And I recognize and accept that. I think that that's the thing. I probably also learned more about my faith. I'm not overly religious, but I have really strong faith and I have a real grounding in that. And I think that remembering, that's the other thing. I've had moments that are really difficult in some of those. And when I center myself on who I am and where I came from, and remember like the shoulders I stand on, right? That helps, you know, it helps you give you perspective, to put the foot in front of the other. To do the learning, to push through it, to be in the arena, to try to enjoy the moments that you're in there, even when it's hard and mucky and frustrating and you're angry. You know, all the emotions that come with things that feel impossible, things that feel hard. Yeah.
What's your advice for folks to face their fear of inaction and use the fire in their bellies to bring their impossible dreams to life?
I think it's ask for help.
Ooh.
Right? Like, we don't have all the answers inside of us. Mm-hmm. Push through, but you ask for help, right? Like, is it help? Do you need support with your mental health? Do you need support with the project? Do you need support? Do you need to learn more? Do you need to go to the expert that who's done this before that can give you, you know, advice and a perspective? That they, you know, have experienced this thing and can be there for you. It's hard many times to ask for help because we feel like we should have the answers, or, you know, we can feel like failure. There's a lot of things you can feel, not enough, imposter syndrome, all the things. It's all real for folks, myself included. Yeah, reaching out and using that network of people around you, personally and professionally, so that you can put one foot in front of the other and push through it.
What do you look forward to most in the next 12 months?
It's almost summer, so I start looking forward to sunshine, and we're having longer days, so that is one thing. I look forward to the continued learning of this merge again that we're going through from a professional standpoint, from work. Like, I'm learning every day. I'm learning what I'm not doing well. I'm learning what I'm doing well. I'm learning new ways to do things. I look forward to continuing that and us continuing to stabilize and, you know, just come together programmatically and grow together. It's two different staffs and kind of two different ways of doing things. It's all a learning process. I do look forward to that. I love to learn.
What's your next impossible, my friend?
Retirement. It's a little ways off. Sorry, did I say that loud enough? Did I whisper that? Retirement, people, that is my next impossible. No, I mean, that I think that finding ourselves, getting ourselves to a space where we can feel like you can start to let things go and not have to feel as in control of things. And I don't know how that happens. I never imagine I'll really retire. I'll always work a little bit. I can't. I love the work I do. I love the people. I love being able to be in the community and impact young people. So that's probably, the impossible is probably figuring out how to actually retire one day.
Well, who's someone else who should share their story with us?
I have met, her name is Dr. Chanel Hampton. She works with the Strategic Community Partners in Detroit. And we've done some work with them around diversity, equity, and inclusion. She's pretty cool.
Nice.
And she does a lot. She does so much. I don't know where she finds the time to do everything that she does. So I would say Chanel, yeah.
So the idea of tenacity and it being a top leadership quality, you know, I think that it's increasingly important. You know, I said to our team some words that I've heard people saying within our credit union system recently, which is that the change we're experiencing today is the slowest change we're going to experience in our lives. And I think when you talk about that, tenacity becomes more and more important because there is a heaviness of change that I think human beings feel outside of work right now. And then when you add that work has to change as rapidly as the world is changing around us, or even more so, it takes tenacity. And I think as a leader, the tenacity is about how you can show up in the ways you need to show up as a leader,
when life is really hard, because, you know, what I think you don't know, or I didn't know early in my career, is how much people pay attention to how you show up. And I think it takes incredible tenacity to feel as deeply as you feel some of the things that are hard about work, and to show up in a way that is genuine and represents what people need from you, which is a certain amount of steadiness and positivity. So when you think about playing hard, I do think this is a late stage of my life gift. And I think that there's a necessity to release in your life, that if you don't let the valve go, eventually causes you significant damage. And so, you know, I've spent a lot of time that I've shared quite openly in therapy. I finally found a therapist during COVID that I really love. I've actually never met this person in person, which is fascinating. And although I don't think we've ever talked about that, I do think one of the outcomes of the work that I've done to be a better human, which I try to do every single day, is about how you have some fun, you know. And I had a vacation this year with my family that was the best vacation I think I've had in 20 years. And I think some of that is because there is a brevity to life that probably when you get in your northern 40s, you start to see. And I think the pressures of work, and I think the gravity of our current economic environment to an extent for me in this job have helped me to see. And then there are just certain things that I think as you mature, you let yourself lean into, right? You know, I love live music. I love Dave Matthews. You know, there was a time when I think I was very safe about the things I loved. And I think I'm just very explicit about the things I love and will let myself enjoy those. So again, you know, when you think about Mental Health Awareness Month and May, you know, I've made a strong commitment to the world that I think we need to be more explicit in our support of people's mental well-being. You know, this has become a very trite saying, but it's trite for a reason, which is, you know, if you had a physical ailment in the way that we have mental ailments, we wouldn't ever scoff about finding support for that. And still, you know, in this conversation, when I say out loud to something that's going to go public that I have been in therapy for years, there's a little bit of the two debating people on my shoulders that says, I don't know, you should just say that out loud. And the more we say it out loud, the more that that normalizes. And so when we think about a month, I worry sometimes about these days or months that are, oh gosh, here's this period of time that we celebrate something or we focus on something. The upside, though, is it does encourage us to raise awareness around something. And in this case, it's something that I care about deeply. What I do believe, and I think this is about work, when we talk about innovation or being efficient or being creative, it's best when it becomes a part of who we are versus an activity we do. And sometimes you have to do an activity to have something become a habit.
This concludes today's episode. For exclusive content, visit us at despiteimpossible.com and subscribe to this podcast.